I'm going to ask right now if everyone will please go ahead and mute your line. Your video is fine, but if you will mute your lines so we can eliminate as much background noise as possible. Thank you. And so our order today is introductions, where we are now. Yeye will go into her masterclass teaching. There will be an opportunity for question and answers, and we're also excited to be sharing with you some very special opportunities to continue learning and growing with Yeye. And so altogether, our time together will be about 60, maybe into 75 minutes or so. So about our wonderful Yeye. Yeye Luisa Teach is a teacher, dancer, storyteller, and a high priestess. She is also the author, most notably, of Jambalaya, the Natural Woman's Book of Personal Charms and Practical Rituals. Born in New Orleans, of a father who was an African Methodist Episcopal and her mother a Catholic of Haitian, French, and Choctaw heritage, Yeye Teach is an Ianifa, an Oshun chief in Yoruba tradition. She is one of the most well-known Yoruba priestesses worldwide who is celebrated internationally in goddess circles as a writer and ritual maker. She quite literally is a legendary woman of great character and exceeding positive impact for this generation and for all time. So with no further ado, Yeye, I'm going to turn it over to you, Mama.
E kabo sile wa, e kabo sile wa, sing it y'all. E kabo sile wa, e kabo sile wa. E kabo sile wa, e kabo sile wa. E kabo sile wa, e kabo sile wa. Adupwe, adupwe, adupwe. E kabo sile wa. It is welcome to my house. Welcome to my village. Come on in. Thanks. Let's have a good time. And I must say that I'm in a very good mood today. You know, people have been asking me, how are you doing, Yeye? Because I'm walking on a cane, you know, and I'll tell y'all a story about that in a minute. But my response to how you doing, Yeye, I say, I am vertical, above ground, and breathing, okay? Therefore, I am very, very pleased to be able to be here with you today. Now, you know, some of you don't know that right now I am living with my daughter in Atlanta, who took me out of New Orleans, I must say, just in the nick of time, you know. And I'm here in Atlanta with her, and when she came and got me, she told me, she said, well, you know, Mom, you got 6 months to get your shit together or I'm going to throw you out. Which is the opportunity, you know, once in a while, your child gets the opportunity to give back to you something you said to them years ago, right? So, but I'm having a wonderful time. We're having a wonderful time. Here in Atlanta, I became sort of enthusiastic and went and enrolled at a gym, took an Aquafit class, and did not agree with the way the teacher was conducting it, but I tried to cooperate anyway. And the next night, I went to dinner with Marcelite, who is now in Atlanta. She's been in the class, and I injured my knee in the bathroom, and so I've been walking on a cane ever since, just because the knee gets hot and it swells up. Nevertheless, even on a cane, I attended the Afrobotany Conference in Costa Rica. It was 9 wonderful days of trekking through the bush, crossing the river in a canoe, participating in an Amerindian herbal sweat, lallygagging on the beach, eating fresh caught fish. And the Costa Rica has Costa Rica has a celebration called Black People's Day. And so I attended the Black People's Day parade, which was really, really an amazing display of African-based culture, especially Jamaican. So you know, while I was there, what we were concentrating on was the herbs that African women brought to the Caribbean and to South America. And I don't know if you all know this this history, but I'm going to be writing about it. A lot of things we carried in our hair, rolled up in our skirts, under our tongues. And that, along with the knowledge we got from the indigenous people, we have an amazing herbal cornucopia that I'm going to be learning more about and sharing more about. In line with the business of harvesting, we were sent into the yard of the woman who's herbalist and told to talk which plant wanted to talk back to us, was attracted to plant wanted to talk back to us. Like the content, it's called Pacific Spinach. The sister cooked some for me. It's delicious. And it sent me on a search, and I have more why spinach is sacred to Oshun. It is my hope that in the future I'll get and will be able to have a hothouse and grow some of these tropical herbs that our foremothers brought over here, because the healing properties are incredible. So I'm out by harvesting wild herbs, and I want to encourage all of us to find the herb that that belongs with us. Everybody take a deep breath and let it out very slowly. Take another deep breath and gently close your eyes and relax in your body and listen. Allow yourself to feel her presence. Iba Oya. Iba Yansa. Ayaba won obenren mobeyen. Iyaba won obenren mobeyen. Ajalaye funalafia. Ajalorun punire. Oya Ansa Winnie Winnie, Ashe, Ashe, Ashe. Praise to the wind, praise to the spirit of the wind. Praise to the mother of nine. Queen of the women, save me. Queen of the women, save me. Winds of the earth, bring me health. Winds of the heavens, bring me fortune. Oya, the wind mother is wondrous. It is so, so be it. So it is. Softly a whistle rises in the wind. Gently the dust broom sweeps. Leaves rustle against the earth. She rises, growing stronger, standing taller, pushing further, yielding more. Oya, queen of the winds of change. Long and swift she dances through our lives, hurling lightning, spitting fire as furiously torrential rains fall. We reap the harvest, we grab the shafts of wheat and rip them from the soil. Oya, mother of transformation, we work. Lady of the sunset, it is she who paints the leaves in autumn. The hum of locusts is her song. Her nine heads, the river Niger, are adorned with a necklace of human heads. There in the cemetery, she dances with her sisters at her side. There in the garden, leaves and seeds fly, rain falls upon the earth. Death and life rustle in the wind, the seasons change, and we who are dead reborn must worship her. Take a deep breath and let it out slowly. Take another deep breath and let it out slowly. And on the third deep breath, gently open your eyes. We come to understand the analogy of the body of the earth and the body of woman and its fullness, power to nurture seed deep in the darkness of the womb of the earth with water and sunlight. Seed bursts open, knowing fully who and what it is and what it is to be. That seed gives way to stem, to bud, to leaf, to flower, to trunk, to fruit, to vegetables, to all the wonderful things that we harvest. And we harvest those things recognizing the full power and the gift of the earth. We consume that food, that fruit, those herbs, and with them we part fruit of the womb of the earth. We take it in to strengthen ourselves. We take it in to heal ourselves. We take it in to make ourselves channels of that energy of earth and sun and seed and water. And with that energy, we then turn around and we nurture our children. We nurture our community. We nurture the earth. And so we participate in a cycle of receiving energy, of using energy and of giving energy. Just as that seed knows who and what it is and what it is to become, that information is encoded inside the seed. So we are the result of the seed of our parents, who are the result of the seed of their parents, who are the result of the seed of their parents, who are the result of the first primal humans who walked the earth. I think that for the people who would come to a masterclass such as this, understanding the connection between the harvesting of the fruits of the earth and the harvesting of the gifts of our ancestors will become more and more self-evident. In much of West Africa, there is a vegetable, the yam, the white yam, the cocoa yam, the big mother yam. And in countries like Ghana and Nigeria, there is what's called the ancestral yam, in that there is a big yam that has lots of eyes in it. And in ceremony, that yam is cut up, especially where the eyes are, and it is planted and is the parent of the next crop of yams, okay? And that continues and continues and continues. We can understand this best when we look at what we call heirloom vegetables, okay? Those that have not been genetically modified, but that carry the intelligence of their ancestors from the beginning of that particular species, okay? So the heirloom vegetable, the heirloom herb, the one that has not been polluted or the one that has not been radiated, the one that has not been spliced in such a way as to lose its essence, is what we call heirloom vegetables, heirloom fruits, heirloom herbs. And I encourage you to look into that and experience the difference. You know, when I was in California and Mother Earth magazine advertises, there is such a thing known as the Heirloom Festival, okay? And I attended it in California. And I can tell you that there is an energetic difference in walking into a room where every fruit and vegetable in the room is heirloom versus when you walk into the store and you encounter genetically modified food. You can feel the difference on an energetic level. And especially, I was impressed by the great variety that nature presents us with, okay? So imagine walking in and finding a tower of pumpkins and squash that is 15 feet long, 15 feet high, a cone of that, and there is every kind of squash and every kind of pumpkin that you can imagine there, and some that you've never seen. Imagine walking into a place where there's like 10, 12 foot tables with eggplants on them that start out with the white egg-shaped eggplant, and it runs through all the colors and all the shapes until you get at the end of it, and there's the very fat black eggplant. And this is the kind of showing off that nature does when we don't mess with her, when we don't reduce ourselves to only three kinds of corn and only two kinds of eggplant and only three kinds of potatoes. We want to return to a time and a place where we honor all of the gifts that nature has given us. So I want to encourage you to look at the heirlooms first for your health, to know it has survived and continued for millennia, and secondly, to honor the lineage of that particular product. Now I want you to take a deep breath and consider that you are the heirloom of your family line. You are the heirloom of your family line. Generation after generation after generation, physical traits have been passed to you. Emotional predispositions have been passed to you. Cultural mores have been passed to you. Dreams, hopes, and desires have been passed to you. And I really want you to begin to think about, and most importantly, feel about what it is like for you to consider yourself an heirloom. Consider yourself an heirloom. I think that as humans, we can, because of disruptive history, we can because of dysfunctional family, we can because of a false standard of what beauty is, we can find ourselves not appreciating what we have inherited. Like what comes to mind for me immediately is, you know, my brother died while I was in Costa Rica. And one of the things I was thinking about was how when we were young, I got that Aries Taurus energy. So when I get mad, my nostrils would flare, right? And he started calling me Elsie the cow with the flaring nostril, right? And so I spent some time feeling funny about my nose, right? And trying to figure out whose nose it was that I could inherit, that I had inherited, so I could give it back to him. If this is grandma, take it back. You know, I don't want this nose that gets me teased, right? On the other hand, I saw clearly at an age that the women in my father's family were shaped one way and my mother's figure was the other. And I remember making a conscious decision that I wanted to grow up to have my mother's figure. And I have it. Okay. Now, that was the musings of a child. But we now know that the thing has our DNA being receptive to our input. There is such a thing as our DNA being receptive to our input. That is, we can talk to our body and experience change on a cellular level. I'm doing this quite a bit with my knees right now. I'm talking to them about how much I need them. I'm asking their forgiveness for the times when I took them for granted. Okay. I am flattering them as I treat them and reminding them that I come from a long line of women with strong legs. So one of the things that we need to be doing in this season is harvesting the blessings of what we have inherited. This is a time to be thankful for your body. This is a time to be thankful for the culture that your ancestors have handed you. This is the time when, you know, we start to call family members together to feast on the harvest of the things that we planted earlier that are coming to fullness now. I want to invite everybody to just take a minute and think about what I call your biocultural inheritance. Let's do the physical first. Whose body did you inherit? Where did those eyes come from? What kind of muscles? What, pray tell, who contributed to the way you walk? Which one of them relatives has the look that runs through everybody in the family? Your children look like you? You look like grandma? You got papa's attitude? What is that thing that everybody in your family does that seems to be an inherited skill or an inherited attitude? I remember when I was in New Orleans, I was telling my niece, I said, you know, I have a personality problem, which is that I have all this Southern hospitality stuff. And, you know, I really want to be sweet and so on and so forth. And I do this. I said, but then there is a place where if a line is crossed, then all of a sudden I'm crazy. And she said, oh, Auntie, we all like that. All of us are like that, you know. It's a family trait, and it becomes important to understand what physical traits you have inherited, what emotional traits you have inherited, so that you can do basic self-acceptance. Once you do basic self-acceptance, you can make any change, but you cannot make good change from a place of rejecting what has grown. You can't go out to the pumpkin patch and say, these ain't pumpkins and I don't want them. You have to walk through the patch and take a look at and choose the very best, the ripe ones. That's what you take into the kitchen, and that is what you cook. So in this season, I want you to take a look at the culture that you grew up in. What are the gifts of your family that you have that have served you well? And are there any gifts coming through your family that you have neglected? People play piano in your family. Folks like to sing. Grandma likes the garden. So-and-so paints. All of these wonderful things. My God, these people. Who is this? Hold on, y'all. I have to take this. Diane, how you doing, baby? Listen, I'm in the middle of doing a class online. You calling about picking me up tomorrow? Okay. Yeah, and I'll email you the address. Okay, baby. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Y'all, see, I know too many progressive women. We all up to something. Everybody's doing something. Okay. So, you know, think about what are the gifts that you have inherited from your family. Have you used those gifts? Have you harvested those gifts? And if there are any that you haven't, okay, then yeah, I'm talking to my niece, definitely. Then we want to, in this place, in this season, okay, the season of autumn is when we begin to turn inward, and winter we really go inward. But now we're still gathering family and friends around us and enjoying the harvest. So I want you to think about what are the gifts that came through your family line that you may or may not have harvested. And most difficult right now is, what are the gifts of the larger culture that we live in? What is it that you appreciate about being alive at this time and in this place? Are there any gifts that we are not harvesting at this time? Okay, this is what we have to do in the season of autumn. Now, this energy is manifested by specific acts. We go into the field at this time. We examine the fullness there. We take the best pumpkin out of the patch. And the one that struggled along, maybe we put that one in the compost to be recycled. You know, at this time, we tend to have a lot of family feasts and gatherings, you know. And again, it's a good time to take a look at the quality of our relationships. Who do you want sitting at the dinner table, and what is that conversation going to be like? This is a time when we do things like trick or treat, you know, where the neighborhood children are invited to come get a little sweet. These kids may not be members of your family, but they're certainly members of the neighborhood, and there is a giving to them. And then, of course, this is the time of year when the giving and receiving between us and the ancestors is celebrated most often. This is Hallowmas. This is All Souls. This is Dia de los Muertos. This is moon cakes and hungry ghosts, feeding the hungry ghosts. This is the time for the masquerade, Egungun. This is the time when we perform rites and rituals to externalize and celebrate the reality that we are the heirloom fruit. We are the heirloom seeds. We are the produce of our ancestors, and that we will become ancestors of the future. The seed that comes forward from us, whether it is children, creations, or social interactions, our seed, our energy will go forward. Please let it be heirloom. Take a deep breath and let it out slowly. Take a minute and feel what we have been talking about. You know, that heirloom festival that I was talking about earlier, I remember going to it and being so amazed by seeing so many wonderful things. And at the point where I was leaving, and, you know, Leilani was going to get the van, I was leaning up against the door, and this young woman came up to me. She had a dolly, crates of fruits stacked. And she reached in the stack and she said, "Here, taste this." And she handed me something that I brought up to my mouth. And when I bit into it, it was as if something said, "Heaven." Heaven, right? And she looked at me and she said, "Italian prune plum. Remember it." That must have been 7 years ago. I remember Italian prune plum and the taste of it. I don't know if I'll ever get to grow it, but it is one of the most delicious things that I have ever tasted. And I maintain that that young woman, she didn't hand that to everybody, okay? There was some kind of a energetic exchange between us that let her know this woman is the one to give that plum to. You see what I'm saying? And you are always exuding that kind of message, that kind of energy. And so at this time when we are harvesting, it is also the time for you to consider the seed that is in you that will be planted in spring. See, you know, you're gonna harvest now. You're going to consume, you're going to save the seeds and let the earth lay fallow through the winter. And then come spring, you will plant again and create the next generation of this abundance. I do believe, let me see. You all can see me, right?
Yes.
I may have to move again because see that? You see how the sunlight washes me out. Let me move the computer again and see if I can. I definitely have to get a new chair. Because this little thing, this little chair is not the best. But as the sun is rolling around in my room, I have to roll around to accommodate it. Okay. All right. So I think this is a message for me to change my curtains. It might be time for different curtains. Okay. I think that we should now take questions, huh?
Absolutely, Yay Yay. So if you have questions at this time, please type your name in chat and say, just put, I have a question. And then we'll call upon you to hear your question.
Uh-huh. Who is that?
Who is that?
How you doing, baby? You know, for some reason, my voice is echoing. Do you all hear an echo?
There is an echo. So again, if you have a question, please simply type into the chat, I have a question, and then I will call on you to share just so we can have some order and process.
It looks like Rosanna's saying something, but I can't hear her.
Okay, so there's a question from Iya Oribega.
Oribega, uh-huh.
Okay, Iya, you may speak, please. Unmute yourself.
Aburu abushe, yeye.
Aburu abuye. Ashe, ashe. How you doing, baby?
It's good. It's good. It's good to see you too as well, Mama.
Uh-huh.
So my question is this. When we hold back the gifts that we're given, is there, I know that there are times when I'm not sure what those gifts are. Uh-huh. Is there a way to discover what these gifts may be and to then let them go, let them produce?
Yes. I really, really, recommend, and you know, and there's some guidelines in Jambalaya. I really, really do recommend spending time at your ancestor shrine with a candle and a glass of water and your questions. You know, the first thing we have to do is shut down the mundane monkey mind, you know, the one who worried about the dishes and, you know, all of that stuff, right? When we can sit still and just bring that energy down so that you are in an alpha state and you have in front of you on the shrine the images of the ancestors, you know, the sacred objects, the things that represent your inheritance, there is a way that you put the question out. And I'm always very careful because my ancestors have a real strange sense of humor. Okay. How I put the question out, it's like, which of the gifts of my ancestors is mine by divine right? Which one? Which are the ones that are mine by divine right? What guidance do you have for me in manifesting this gift? And here comes the big one, yeah.
Yeah.
Here comes the big one, okay. It's like, you know, when you ask that question, they're going to give you some work to do. Okay, they're going to give you some work to do. So you really, really have to ask for ease of accomplishment. Ask for their assistance. You have to listen so carefully because, you know, when you do, especially you, now, write down what you hear and then take your four cowries and say, what I heard you say was, is that what you said?
Okay.
And then do it. Because, you know, those of us who've been in the tradition a long time, we tend to get a little too comfortable. Okay. with these processes. So I went through, you'll love this. I went through this thing of saying, okay, now I'm at a point in my life where I really want to do a lot of writing. What is it that I should be writing about? And what came back was, write the story of the ancestors, right? And so I said, oh, yeah, okay, well, you know, my mama and my daddy and da da da. And one of my sisters, who's not into this at all, sent me a document where she had traced my father's side of the family back to 1780, right? Mm-hmm. And I read it, and it's really funny because, you know, there was all kinds of historical information in it. But as I sat in front of the ancestor shrine and I'm reading it, and what I'm hearing is, And then we told you to write the stories of the ancestors, not just your ancestors. You see, I misinterpreted that to think, oh, yeah, well, my mama and my daddy, that's what they mean. But after I got that, that's the elementary stuff. Now, let me tell you what's really going on. There's a bigger story that you have to tell. And so they will, I think, for me, I'm getting. Yeah. Okay. Oh, mercy. Now, there was somebody else who wanted to ask a question. Elisa?
Yeah. I typed it.
Oh, where is it?
In the messages. The question is, are you in New Orleans and presently, and when will we see you?
Oh, okay. So your question is right on. Right now, I'm in Atlanta, but I am making plans to be in New Orleans October 24th through November 1st, okay? And soon you'll be getting the information, but the way it's shaping up is I'm going to do a day-long workshop, I think it's Saturday the 26th, at the community bookstore.
I know who that is.
At the community bookstore. And then I think on the 30th, or whenever the Voodoo Festival is, I'm going to be doing a storytelling performance called Voices from the Back Room.
Thank you.
I'll be around, and I'll be able to do divinations and things like that. But I've got to work things out with Nana Sula.
I'm in New York City right now.
I thought you were in New Orleans.
In my house, I am.
Okay. How are things in New York?
The energy here is right. Not like New Orleans.
Yeah, each place has its own.
I miss it.
Yeah, each place has its own. But you know, I will say that I am grateful because for a while, I was worried that one of these hurricanes, Jose Maria, was going to head north and hit New York, and it veered away. So you know, I'm asking.
I was here when we had Sandy, so yes.
Yeah, it's very scary. It's very, very scary. The way that Oya is being upset. we gotta talk to her, okay? We gotta talk to her. But yeah, I'll be in New Orleans. I'll be in New Orleans in October, and as soon as there's any possibility of, you know, I got a lot of things set up for next year, and I'm trying to think about when I'm going to be on the East Coast, but I'll definitely let you know, okay?
Thank
you're
you.
Welcome, baby.
Thank
you're welcome.
Thank
you're
you,
welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, was there somebody else? I don't keep seeing the chats. Where did they go? The chat, the little chat thing here says 48. I don't think 48 people are trying to chat right now.
No. Yeah. This is Aria Day. I've been monitoring the question, so I do have a protocol.
Mm-hmm.
So the next person is Muja.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I'm here. Greetings of love, light, and peace.
How you doing, beautiful?
I'm wonderful. And how about yourself?
Well, I'm great.
You know, I absolutely love your guttural laugh. You know, that's something that I always wish that I had naturally. Mm-hmm. I tend to laugh more softly, but it feels so good when you have a real guttural laugh.
No, you appeal to about the laugh of that.
Okay.
Yeah, about the lies, the deity of laughter.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right, I will do that. I certainly mm-hmm. will. Okay, so I had a couple of questions as it pertained to Oya, because you mentioned, I understand, deity of the Orisha who kind of governs transformation.
Yes.
And I have often identified with Oya, although I've never really received a reading because I feel like I have three of those characteristics of both Oshun. I wanted to ask
three sisters. Yeah,
I wanted to ask you: are you saying that Oya is also the deity governing the harvest?
Yes, and in autumn, okay, and I see, even though we pay homage to all of the Orishas all of the time, but Oya is most evident in what we call fall, because that's when the leaves turn all those beautiful colors.
Mm-hmm.
That's when the wind rises up. That's when the things that we have grown goes to the marketplace. That's when the bush cows mate. That's when we pay homage to the ancestors. And, you know, she leads the procession of the ancestors. So, you know, when I had my Ile, we would start praising Oya on the 18th of October. And every night there was something for her until we culminated with the Festival of the Bones around November 7th. So, you know, for us, it is important, I think, for us to give Oya her due, okay? When I first came into the tradition, it was sort of the image of her was being dictated by, I was around a lot of Cuban men, and they said things like, well, she's not really a major, or these Oya is really crazy, and that kind of stuff. Up stuff that said, well, you know, Oya hates Oshun, and Oya hates Yemaya. I mean, just foolishness, right? And it caused me to, because this is the kind of sister I am, I went directly to the Orisha, you know, and I said, you know, Iya, what's up with this, okay? What is this? And And really, if you look at Jambalaya, I believe it's the chapter where I talk about the seven African powers. I actually took Orumila out of the seven African powers and put Oya in there. And in Carnival of the Spirit, the chapter on autumn is dedicated, excuse me, to Oya. Now, what has happened is, what has changed, when I was coming up through the tradition, if somebody, especially a woman, was read as a child of Oya, they would initiate her for Obatala and would say that, you know, they were both sky deities, but Obatala was easier because Oya tears things up and so on and so forth. So we for a long time we didn't have an abundance of Oya priestesses because her energy was being transmuted. Now people are clearer that our relationship to the weather comes under Oya's jurisdiction. You know, back then they would primarily look at her as the queen of the marketplace and not look at her function in nature. So I would say to you, if if you feel an affinity for Oya, you know, definitely praise her. And let me tell you, all that foolishness about her and Yemaya not liking each other, just erase it. It's bullshit, okay? People get scared because Oshun is love and beauty and all of this stuff, and Oya is change. When people have that, they don't want it to change, right? Yemaya is the stability of the family and you know, and all of that domestic harmony. Oya is change, and people don't want that to change. But we have to become braver in facing the fact that those three dance together. We just have to grow up.
Thank you, Yay Yay. Our next question is from Newbie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, where's Newbie? I ain't seen you in a while, baby. Where are you?
Peace, Yay Yay. How are you?
Let me see your face, me girl. And where are you?
Houston. Uh-huh. We just, you know, made it through the hurricane. Okay.
Huh?
I'm good. Luckily, we came. I'm okay. We had a tree fall on our house. Ooh. So, you know, we just fixed that, and still there's a lot of debris in our neighborhood and the city. Not really working to clean it up. So, you know, the community is taking things into their own hands, that's for sure.
Okay.
But I'm good. Glad to hear that. Yeah, I'm doing okay. I made a trip home to Birmingham to visit. That was a nice escape. So,
okay, baby.
Festival of the Bones, so I want to hear about that in a little bit. But my question is more so from the beginning of when I tuned in. Mm-hmm. You mentioned about how you were thinking to write something dealing with the women who wear the herbs in the hair and the skirt. Mm-hmm. And how important it is for us to find the herbs that belong to us. So my initial question was like recommendations. Yay Yay says hi. I have my headphones. Say hi.
How you doing, babe?
My initial question was just dealing with the recommendations maybe for women with wild herbs. Mm-hmm. But maybe you can talk a little bit about the process that we should go through to finding herbs that belong to us. Mm-hmm.
Well, for one thing, do you have a community garden?
I do.
Okay.
Well, we do.
You have a community garden. Okay. And, you know, it's very interesting because there's so many ways to approach it. I think that the best advice that I could give, you know, is to think about the things that you and your family need in and choose 7 herbs that you can grow easily and use with versatility. So, you know, I'm foreshadowing here, but the book that I'm working on, and it's not really, it'll just be a little pamphlet. I'm calling it Cook, Cure, and Conjure. Okay. So you want the ones that are going to give you 3 ways to use them. Okay. I can cook some potatoes and put garlic and butter on it and chop up some parsley and throw it on there, and that will be wonderful. Okay. I can make some parsley tea and use it as a diuretic, or, you know, use it to stimulate labor. But I can also take that parsley and work charms for Yemaya with it, you see. And so you want to look for the ones that have the most use, and if you can connect it to your history. You can connect it to your history. I think if a person has 7 good herbs in their repertoire, you can do almost most of the things that you need to do. Now, you know, that you can take that intellectual approach. The other thing you can do is the energetic approach. That is, walk, put yourself in a meditative state, walk through the garden, and ask the plants that want to work with you to present themselves, okay? One of the problems with Western medicine, one of the many problems with Western medicine, is that it fails to respect the spirit of the plant. They snatch things up out of the earth with no ceremony. They turn it into rocks, you know, with not having recognized the spirit in it. And so what we often end up with is a half active or almost dead matter, you know, with no energy in it. The other thing you are looking for something specific, aren't you?
As far as herbs?
Yeah, what is it that you want to plant? There's something you want to plant?
Not necessarily. I have been doing I've done a course that talked about the practical use and also being able to use them for spiritual uses. I haven't, I just kind of did some Palo classes that also talked a little bit deeper about plants. So I haven't really gotten into my own specific desires for plants, mm-hmm. but more so just general information that I'm, you know, I plan to start harvesting soon. So I was just kind of getting some insight as far as maybe recommendations as far as those general plants that are usually used.
Okay. Are you looking for a relaxant, or are you looking for a stimulant?
I can't say I have that answer at this time. I haven't really thought about that one.
Okay, I want you to think about that.
So just in general, right.
Because that, you know, that while I'm talking to you, there's a leaf that's pressing itself into my consciousness, and I cannot tell if I am seeing dandelion or chicory. You mess with chicory at all?
No, I haven't.
Have you?
But I have been looking to. One of the biggest uses I want to get into with the herbs is being able to extract them, creating my own maybe blends and different things, okay. oils and things from the actual herb itself, though. And I or of course teas and being able to use them for different purposes. So of course dandelion, but I'm gonna look into chicory more.
Okay, that's really good. I am being led to share something interesting with you. You know, years ago, way back in like 1982, I was living in Richmond and I planted a garden in my yard, and two interesting things happened. Some peppers that I planted did not grow, and the birds dropped some peas in my garden that I did not plant, and they grew. And so at that time, I was doing a storytelling show called The Pepper and Peas Theater. Something I planted didn't grow. Something I didn't plant grew. I'm for some reason, I'm told to tell you that. The other thing is, I remember, for some reason, I went out in the yard and a squash plant was growing up the side of the house. And I thought, that's really unusual to see a squash growing up the side of the house. And I dismissed it then. But now, 20 years later, vertical gardening is very, very popular. And it lets you know there is a different use of space. Okay. So I don't know, maybe that will become relevant to you later, but those are the things, you know, investigate the long, slender leaves. And know that something you plant doesn't come to fruition, but something that you don't does. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. I'm gonna look into it. Definitely that meditative process, walking through the garden and, you know, asking the plants to present themselves.
Yeah, they're wonderful. They're wonderful. I love it.
Yay, at this point there are 6 people with questions.
Wow.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. So we have Kim next.
Kimberly?
Hello there.
Hey, baby. How you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm okay. Good. Right on. What's happening?
So I'm wondering, with ancestors, I'm sure that I'm not the only person that's got some folks in their background that I don't really connect with. Mm-hmm. I don't even know how to ask them for answers because they couldn't work it out when they were here.
Yes.
Dealing with alcoholism or
right.
bipolar or just all kinds of, you know, there's a bunch of it. And mm-hmm. I know I have to own it one way or another, but I don't know what to do about that.
Right. Okay. I'm trying to find the pages in Jambalaya. You have Jambalaya, right?
I do.
Okay. I'm trying to find the pages that I want to direct you to. You know, when we talk about, I think that you're probably going to want to do more in-depth work. But, you know, when we do the Ancestral Journey class, we make 3 lists of ancestors, right? We make a list of the ones who we feel are positive influences that we can call upon now. Mm-hmm. We make a list of those who may be in a wounded state who we will do healing rituals for. Mm-hmm. And then we have that class of those whose energy needs to be sent through a black hole in space to be transformed. And, you know, I talk about this a bit in Jambalaya, you know, sections. Chapter 5 is all about ancestor reverence, but later on, I think it's in chapter 8,
okay,
that I talk about how to dispel those negative for you to know, Kimberly, is that, you know, any negative that has come through the ancestral line, you healing it in yourself heals your ancestors and your children. It's like, how do I explain that? Let me give you an example of something, a real extreme example. I had a young woman who came to me because she was being plagued at night by dreams of a snake biting her. Mm-hmm. Snake just kept biting her, and she could not understand what was going on. It took a lot of divination and a lot of meditation and a lot of questioning, but what I came up with was that her ancestors had participated in the sale of slaves several generations before, and that the members of the women's society had laid a curse on the descendants of the slave sellers and the slave buyers, right? Mm-hmm. And so this sent her on a journey that took her all the way back to Cuba. And when she went to Cuba, she went looking for the plantation where her great-grandfather had owned. And there she found the graves of people who had been owned, right? Mm-hmm. In Cuba, she sought out a priest who did a divination for her there. He talked to the ancestors. The ancestors said that if she made certain offerings, that the curse would be lifted. She made the offerings. The offerings were accepted. The dreams stopped. Now, there are many things going on in other dimensions that can only be addressed through mystery, through you know, going in that deep. But the first thing that I would want you to do is to shield against any negative influence that is coming your way. Tell those that need healing that you will heal them when you yourself are stronger. But what you need to be calling on is the ancestors who are benevolently disposed toward you. Mm-hmm. Ask for the ancestors who are benevolently disposed toward you, and you want your guides, those who are gonna help you know where to go and what to do. Mm-hmm. You want your warriors, those who are going to defend you, protect you, and defend mm-hmm. you against negative influences. And you want your healers, those who are going to come and, help you recover from the impact of any past negativity. You know? Mm-hmm. How you feel?
It's going to be work.
Yeah, it's work. Like I told Oribega, every time I open my mouth to my ancestors, what comes back is work. What comes back is work. I just left this other EI's house who's saying, well, I don't know. I don't feel like I got the energy to help a whole lot of people. I said, girl, I see a parade of folks coming down the street to your house to get your ashe. You can sit there and whine all you want to, but this is what's happening, okay? And as I was leaving, she said, y'all take care of my yaya. Get her in the car. I love her. I said, uh-huh, you're going to hate my ass. On the day that I open the door to your Elay, you're going to hate my ass. But that's all right, because that's what your ancestors want you to do. You see what I'm saying? Once you fortify yourself and your relationship to the ones who are benevolently disposed toward you, all kinds of miraculous things will begin to happen. Now, the healing stage can be painful. It can be painful. But when you take a liver cleanser, your skin breaks out because the poisons are coming.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to, you know, take good care of yourself. Whose dog is that? If I had to put mine out.
Okay, yay, yay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
The next question is Amy. And so everyone, please know that we have many, many questions. We will try to answer as many as possible, but we do want to share more with you about the opportunity to continue studying with Yay Yay.
Ah, Shay, okay.
So Amy is next.
Okay.
Hello,
Amy? I can hear you. I can hear you.
Okay. My video is not working for some reason.
Yeah, I know.
But my question is similar to Kim's. With my ancestors, I feel like there's a lot of disease and a lot of genetic modification and a lot of movement away from the heirloom. And I feel very strongly pulled in this place where I am right now with my children to heal for them, to heal for the future generations. And so my question is very similar to Kim's in that how can we return to those heirloom qualities? How can we kind of purify what the qualities are and make sure that what we're passing forward to future generations are those heirloom qualities?
Right. You know, hopefully we'll be able to deal with it in the class, but always, the first step is always putting up your energetic shields to keep negativity from, you know, from coming to you or emanating or buzzing around you. The second thing is cleansing. You know, you might want to look in Jambalaya and do a series of the white baths. Always, you know, you think about, well, you know, I come from a long line of people with bad tempers. So if I find my temper getting out of line, you know, what I have to do is mix a white bath and wash that free-floating anger away from me. You know, you do a lot of cleansing. I have the candle work and the color bath charts in Jambalaya. You can get started there. And particularly, I think in your case is to move against repetition, you know. If there's something that seems to be following your family line, make a commitment not to repeat it, or if you already have, don't allow your children to repeat it. I do feel that, you know, you're going to need more tailored work. You know, what I'm saying right now is general, but I do feel that you're going to need more tailored work because I'm reluctant to say anything because I can't give you a full explanation, But my sensation is that you are experiencing the influence of what I call the underblood, something in the family line that is hidden, that, you know, that quietly haunts the lineage because it wants attention. Is there, as far as you know, was there any great shame in the family that everybody tried to hide?
Oh, loads.
Okay, baby. Okay, okay. So the one thing, the you know, given that, you must strip yourself of anything that resembles shame.
Huh.
Strip yourself of anything that makes you feel shame, or that you think, you know, represents shame in your life. Push that away from you, clean that off of you, and don't let people say to your children, shame on you. Mm. Don't let that, you know, investigate that emotion and work against it. My sense is that, you know, just on the superficial, again, I say, you know, you need real, real counseling. But what comes up is that something that the family regarded as shameful went on. And even if they don't talk about it, they pass that energy. And then there's an attitude toward you that that carries an energy like you should be ashamed. No, you shouldn't.
Hmm.
That's not the medicine for that.
Thank you.
Okay. And if you feel like crying, you should when you want to.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. You know, it's really funny because years ago I had a client who was visited with this sense of shame. And the way it came down for her is her family, she would do something and they'd say, ooh, she just like Cousin Lee. Look at her. Ooh, she just like Cousin Lee. Look at her. Ooh, she just, and every time they did that, whatever she was doing, she would stop doing it because they were shaming her. And so I said to her, I said, look, you got to find out, what did Cousin Lee do? Okay. What is this thing that they are holding over your head? Y'all gonna love this, okay? Cousin Lee was in an atmosphere of some tight ass stuff where a woman was supposed to wear a dance card on her wrist, and the boys would come over and sign her dance card, and she could only dance with the boys who signed her dance card. Y'all know how stiff and dead that is, right? Well, apparently, Lee got tired of that. She snatched the dance card off. She went over and asked this rowdy boy to dance. They did the Lindy Hop or the Black Bottom or something. He flipped her over and she had on red underwear. That's what Cousin Lee did. That's what they shamed this girl about. For 20 years. That's what Cousin Lee did, okay? Really, people? Crazy.
Okay, yay. We have Winsome next. And yay, just be aware that I also am moderating the chat and answering some questions through chat as well.
Good.
But what I'm noticing is that many of the questions relate to specific ancestral concerns.
Mm-hmm.
And okay. I'm informing people about the course because the course will be addressing that.
Yes. That's the best thing because, you know, because it does feel like people need more specific work. And the answers that I can give now are general directives. But this is the season for that. You know, this is a good time. And the main thing that I will say to all of you who have ancestral concerns, everybody has inherited both heirlooms and GMOs, right? Everybody has. You take them GMOs and you throw them in the compost, maybe, and let them degenerate, okay? What is heirloom, the quality you and the quality ancestors, you want to bring the quality forward, get yourself fortified and protected so that once you are strong enough, you can heal those who need healing. But I have no problem with casting, you know, certain histories, certain energies through the transformer. Always protection of yourself and your children and your elders. That's always first. Always know it is my experience that sometimes it takes years, it takes commitment, and it takes work. But there's only been a few in 35 years. There's only been, I would say, 3 ancestral cases that I've come upon where a positive resolution was not possible.
Okay. Thank you, Yeah. Winsome has a question.
Mm-hmm. Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Good. I'm calling all the way from Belize. Greetings.
Oh, bless your heart. Thank you.
Greetings. I met you 40 years ago in Oakland.
Wow. Wow.
You lived next door to my friend, Rashid, the dancer.
My goodness. Wow. Well, we both still kicking, huh?
Yes. I'm in my 70s. Yes.
Right on. Okay.
So I have a question, 2 questions for you, really. One is, how do you know when you are talking to your ancestors, it's really the ancestors answering you and not your cluttered mind answering what you wanted to say? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the second one, in this time of, I've been writing on my Facebook, praises to Oya and stuff, because I am connected to Oya very strongly. And I used her to actually tell her not to come to Belize when Harvey was coming to us, and it stopped and then went up to Houston, sorry. But I want to know, what can we do to honor Oya for this hurricane season? Because there are more coming out behind. Another depression just came, and I'm in the midst of, they all kind of not come, but you know, you have that feeling at the beginning, are they coming? And they're coming from out of Africa. So there's a connection.
Mm-hmm. I understand. Well, see, the first thing is your first question has to do with what I said earlier about, you know, you gotta carve out time. You have to sit down, you have to take deep, slow breaths, and you have to quiet the monkey mind, you know, the mind that's concerned about what you're gonna cook or what the traffic was and that kind of stuff. And if you are sitting at the ancestor shrine and in that alpha state, a different feeling will come over you that lets you know you're not in the mundane, okay? Then you put the questions to them and you listen very, very carefully. Now, you know, when I was talking to Oribega, I said to her, listen to what you hear, write it down, and then throw 4 cowries. Or you can pull a card, or you can do I Ching, or you can do any of the things that we're going to talk about in the Casting Lots class. But you want to track what you hear. You want to confirm what you heard, and then you want to track what happens afterwards. So, you know, when my ancestors said, we want you to write the stories of the ancestors. I thought, oh yeah, okay, well that makes sense, right? And I was thinking, my parents, my sister, the next thing that happened, for the way that the ancestors let me know what they were really saying, my sister brought me the history. She did the homework for me, right? She brought it to me. And while I was sitting there reading it, it was kind of like, yeah, all right, well, you know, okay. And then I got it, not just your ancestors, but the ancestors. This is a bigger thing. Most often, you will know that when the ancestors are talking to you, because you do not make decisions on a whim. You get a message, you check the message out. The message almost always requires more work. The message almost always stretches you. And you know, you after a while, you will track your accuracy and you will know, last time I sat here and I had this feeling, the things that came through were correct. But the time that I sat here and I had this feeling, the things that came through wasn't quite clear. So you're always reaching for clarity. And the candle and the glass of water, water gazing is what, you know, women in Tanzania and Senegal do, gazing water in the river. Nostradamus did water gazing. He used to dip his glasses in water and look at the beads of water on his glasses. And water gazing is the mother of crystal gazing. So it's all about clearing other things out of the way so that you can see clearly, because the truth is the Orishas and the ancestors are trying to talk to us all the time.
Too much, too many all times.
Yeah.
All the time.
You know, you really have to create time and space for dealing with that and deal with it very effectively. Now, you know, the thing with with Oya and the weather, I know from reports that I've gotten that priests and priestesses in Miami did a lot of ritual to send the hurricane in different directions. Is there a strong wind where you are now?
I'm not too bad, but it's raining heavily, and I know none is around us. No hurricane around us right now, but it's constantly coming up. They all come up, but somehow I send them, to the U.S. I send them out to the ocean, but they all seem to end up in the U.S.
Right. I know. It's hard. See, the weather work is really a trip. You know, I'm a rainmaker, and there have been times when I've done work with other rainmakers to address the drought in California in a different place, and then they mess around and it'll flood. You know, it'll rain. First, there's no rain, and then there's too much rain. So always our interaction with the weather, you are doing the most that you can. Now, one of the things that I recommend is grain or beans that you pray into, right? And then if you can find a place where the wind is strong and feed the wind.
Okay.
You see, feed the wind. But Oya, you know, her name means to rip, to tear. And sometimes I say that while we cannot control her, we can control our response to her.
Yes, I agree with you. Okay. I agree with you. Yep. Thank you very much. And it's so great to hear you after all these years.
I know. Isn't it amazing?
You have to visit Belize. Come and visit Belize.
Honey, you on my list. You're definitely on my list.
Good.
All righty.
So you, thank you, Winsome. So at this time there are three questions still. Mm-hmm. How would you like to proceed?
Well, can you tell me what all three of the questions are?
No, ma'am, I don't have them noted.
Okay,
so let's do this. If we can proceed through those questions and then go to the course.
And then go to what's happening, yeah.
Right. And so I will share the course. Yaya's new course is titled Casting Lots, Seeking Life Guidance. And so in the chat box, the link for the course is there. It's at yayaluisateach.com/programs. And so if you are interested to take a preview before we introduce the course, you can go ahead and preview it by going to the link. Also, we'll be sharing information about another amazing travel opportunity to study with Yaya in person in Jamaica. So again, just visit Yaya's website, click there on the links that I'm posting in chat to preview, and very soon we will be discussing that thoroughly. So our next person is Leanne.
Leanne? I can't hear her.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, baby.
Okay, I think she pretty much answered my question in the chat. I'm really new at studying the tradition, so my first book was, of course, Jambalaya. So I'm excited, and I have lots of questions. Mm-hmm. And so now being here where I am in Atlanta, I just don't know, like, how do I get more guidance and direction on continuing my studies?
Gotcha.
And because I love the book, but I know there's so many things that I don't know, and I don't want to be fiddling around, and I'm unclear about what I'm doing, and I need a community. I think that's what it is. It's the need for community and the need for appropriate guidance.
So let me tell you something. According to my clock, it right now it is 5:45, right? Do you know where Yaya's Botanica is in Atlanta?
I do not.
Okay, when we get off, I want you to, wait a minute, maybe I can even give it to you. Maybe I can even give it to you here. Yes. Yaya's Botanica is located at, write this down.
Okay.
2323 Cascade, C-A-S-C-A-D-E, Cascade Road Southwest.
Okay.
And that's Atlanta 30311. At 7:30 tonight.
Okay.
There is a celebration for Oshun.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And, you know, if you go over there, it's at Yaya's Botanica.
Okay.
Tell people, I send my love and my regards, but I think that I need to take my ass to bed, you know. Folks wanted me to come by the Oshun Festival today, but I've been, you know, me and my legs, I'm gonna put some more ice on my legs and talk to my legs and get in the bed. But you know, there's something going on now. And depending upon how long I am in Atlanta, you know, I will be looking to stage some, you know, books, do some book parties or do some other things. Now, there is a, the other thing is tomorrow, let me see if I can find this. Tomorrow, okay. I am at in Atlanta, I am at Yeah, have you ever heard of the First Existentialist Congregation?
No, I have not.
Okay, the First Existentialist Congregation of Atlanta is at 470 Candler, C-A-N-D-L-E-R, Candler Park mm-hmm. Drive, Northeast. And it says okay. It's the old stone church overlooking Candler Park. Now, you know, I don't know Atlanta. I ain't been here long enough to know nothing, but people are coming to pick me up apparently tomorrow at 3.
Okay.
I'm doing the opening invocation at the First Existentialist Church for two friends of mine who come from California. We're going to be doing a poetry reading there along with some Middle Eastern music.
Okay.
So I'm going to be there tomorrow around 3. See, that's why I need to, one of the things I got to do is realize that I'm 69, not 45 anymore, and regulate my energy. But I think the Oshun Festival is going to be good.
Okay, great. Yay. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Okay, I see somebody saying eat pineapple. I got a fresh pineapple in the kitchen. Thank you.
Okay, the next question is LGK20.
LGK20. Is that a person? Is that person with us?
Well, I'm scrolling here. It looks like they may have hopped off the line. Let's see. Let me double check here. Okay, so the next person is, I hope I'm saying this correctly, Jazz, J-A-I-Z, Jays, Jazz.
J-A-I-Z. J-A-I-Z. Jays. Okay, well, I think some folks decided they needed to go have dinner.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
That makes sense. Did we talk about Jamaica?
We have not talked about Jamaica. Yay, yay. So if you will go ahead and get that conversation started, I will share the screen and bring that up.
Okay. Okay. So the first thing I want to remind people is that in all of this hurricaning that has been going on, Jamaica was not hit. Jamaica was not hit. I'd been concerned about that, and Jamaica has not been hit. So she will continue to be her beautiful self. I want to talk about this as a retreat and a way to revitalize yourself. Rejuvenate your energy. The land in Jamaica is incredibly beautiful with amazing healing power. Just the power of being there is very, very relaxing, very, very healing. The water is amazing. And so, you know, it is our intention to create a well-balanced period of time when we are there, so that there'll be a lot of ritual, there will be good food, okay, there will be soul searching. There's nothing better than sitting in the presence of that beautiful water, contemplating how you want to grow. Mm-hmm. How you, it's a place to clean and clear. Clean and clear. Relax, clean and clear. And we will be doing ritual very much like what I said, where we're harvesting now, but we will look at the seeds that are within us that we will be planting in the spring, okay? The land is so amazing. The land is so amazing that you will definitely, first of all, relax. Shut down the monkey mind. Allow ourselves to feel what Mother Earth is saying to us, and then to give to her the energy that is in us so that we can be nurtured, so that we can plant new seeds in the spring. Always what happens is we make a plan based on what we know is important to do. But then when you get on the land talks to you. And it tells you things. I have some Jamaica adventures that I'm going to turn into short stories one day. But the combination of the conversation between the land and your spirit often brings onto the agenda things that we didn't think about. The people in Jamaica are amazingly friendly. The healing herbs of Jamaica are profound. They're like directly from Africa. The food is off the chain. I mean, just off the chain. We will make music, we will make ritual, we will relax, and I cannot overemphasize the importance of that water, the waters of that that island. I don't have the research right at my fingertips, but there is a new book out called Your Blue Mind. Your Blue Mind, and it has a long subtitle, but it's all about the studies that have been done on how the brain changes when people are in the presence of large bodies of clean water. It's actually been tested under laboratory conditions and shown that spending time near large bodies of water actually has a physiological effect. So I want you all to take a look at your deservedness. You deserve this. You know you want to do this. And this, the time that you take to do this, will set the tenor for who you are growing into being in the coming year. I'd love to see you there.
And Jim, concerning the Jamaica healing retreat experience, so that I can clarify, this is happening in November. So we're speaking of November 2017. Mm-hmm. And on the webpage, if you wish to reach out to myself and have a personal conversation about Jamaica, because again, our desire is that you honor your deservedness.
Yes.
And if you feel and you know that this is the opportunity that you need to step into, we can discuss arrangements so mm-hmm. that we can support you in getting there.
Ashe.
So I will scroll to the bottom of the page. And here at the bottom of the page is a link here where you can send an email to us directly. And everything starts with a conversation. So use your voice, step into your state of deservedness, and contact us and just let us know what your concerns, what your considerations are, so that we can schedule a time to speak with you and just explore the possibilities.
Ashe.
Ashe.
You know, we really have to do self-care. We really, really do have to renew ourselves, because the possibilities of burnout are always so close. You know, it always feels like there's so much to do, so much to be upset about. It always feels like there's other things pulling on our resources. And especially as women, we sacrifice us, which is perfectly backwards, because us is the ones that's holding everybody together. So us are the ones who need to get the healing first. You know how on an airplane they say, in case of turbulence, put on your mask first, and then put on the other person's mask. This will be a breath of fresh air. This will be a real breath of fresh air. Everybody take a deep breath. And see yourself laying on the beach in Jamaica. Close your eyes and just relax on the beach in Jamaica. Smell the salt spray, which scientists say the very scent of salt spray lifts depression. Feel the sun on your body, the sand beneath your feet, the smell of spices and flowers and music in the background. Mm-hmm. Feel the tension drain out of your body. Lay still for a minute. See those seeds laying there quietly? We will gather them up. Wow, this is very interesting. Some of you are working on some creative writing. Bring your notebook to the beach. Bring it to the beach. Yemaya sesu. Asesu yemaya. Yemaya sesu. Asesu yemaya. Yemaya olodo. Olodo yemaya. Yemaya olodo. Olodo yemaya. Yeah, baby. Let the creativity flow. Wow. I am going to get off of this computer and go eat, ice my legs, and lay down and soak in all the prayers y'all sending me.
Now, yay, hold on. Not yet. We need you a little longer.
Really?
Yes, let's talk about your new course, Casting Lots.
Oh, okay. So all these people who have been asking the questions about seeking guidance, hearing the guidance, knowing how to trust the guidance, you really need to sign up for this class. That is what we're going to go into, because, you know, the important thing about it is once you have a relationship with your ancestors and an oracle that you trust because you know how to use it well, whether it's tarot or I Ching or tea leaves or, you know, you need a way to do a spiritual reality check. And what's important here is we are going to do what is called Darle Coco, which is how to divine with the ancestors using four pieces of coconut meat. Okay? And this will put you in a place where you will definitely be able to sit down with that candle and that glass of water, ask the ancestors the questions, listen to what is being said, write it down, double check it, work on it, and record it. You know, oftentimes what comes out of this is your personal libretto, you know. You start to realize that certain rituals work very well for you. I did this one and it wasn't quite right, but this one was even better. And you begin to do your own spiritual book, your own book of individual rituals. And I will draw a lot of the material from Jambalaya, okay? Some of it will come out of Carnival of the Spirit, and there's some that I will just load up as a PDF. But, you know, the important thing that I always want people to know about my courses is integration, you know. I'm not interested. I make a distinction between lecturing and teaching. If I'm lecturing, I'm going to walk in the room. I'm going to read what I've written. I'm going to tell you that information and I'm done. Teaching means that I want to be sure that you understood the information, that you used it and integrated it into your life. So that means that even though we have a schedule laid out, every week I need to see that you have integrated the material, okay, and we'll make changes according to what your needs are, because at the end of the course, what I want you to be able to do is approach your ancestor shrine knowing that this is a place where I can get guidance. That's what's going on with casting lots.
So right now, wonderful people, the enrollment is open for casting lots. And so that URL is posted in the group. It's yayayluisateach.com/programs. And this is a 5-week course. So I'm going to scroll here on the screen. Whether you are advanced, whether you are a beginner, at whatever point you are in your journey of connecting and building your relationship with your ancestors, this is the course. This is really the foundational course that will answer those questions and provide you the knowledge, the information, and the practical experience so that you can get into action in doing the work. Because again, this is not about theory. This is about practice and cultivating that path. So over the overview of the weekly class sessions, in week one, there is an introduction and an examination of different forms of divination, including tarot. and the pendulum, using those for life guidance, as well as our earth allies, crystals, how to connect with crystals also. Week two is an introduction and exploration of the I Ching. Mm-hmm. And then week three through five, which is really at the heart of the course, is the introduction into Darlay Coco, talking coconuts, which is the divination tool that is used in African tradition, Yoruba tradition, for communicating with your ancestors.
That's right.
So you will be learning how to build your ancestor shrine, specific prayers and invocations to your ancestors. And then understanding what happens when these signs fall. So you have a clear understanding mm-hmm. of the messages that are being communicated. Even how to frame questions, mm-hmm. because the framing of your question is essential. And then how do all of these things come together in terms of your journey? You're walking it out in life and intuiting, understanding, and knowing what the information, what the guidance is giving you. And then last but certainly not least is Festival of the Bones. Nubi, you were really excited to know about this. People who mm-hmm. have studied with Yeye, who have been in community with her and also read her books, you know about Festival of the Bones. And so this mm-hmm. is a big commemoration, celebration of our collective ancestors. And this is a real-time ritual that will happen either live or virtually. Yeye, has that been confirmed yet?
Well, you know, I'm hoping that this place that I'm, this existentialist congregation that I'm going to tomorrow, I'm going to ask if I can rent a hall there.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And if I cannot find a place to hold the Festival of the Bones, then at the very least, I will tell people how to do a truncated version in their own communities. But one of the books that we're going to be using is Festival of the Bones 1, which has everything in it.
Outstanding.
So, you know, I'm looking for a place in Atlanta. I'm looking for a place in Atlanta where I can hold it.
Yeah, that's very exciting as you're sharing, because if we are with you virtually or with you in person, just that you are supporting this growing community of your students to do this work in our respective communities.
Yes, absolutely. We have to do it.
Can you speak to that, Yeah? What is the importance of our doing it?
The Festival of the Bones, when I've done it in Oakland, you know, I did it in Oakland for 20 years. And basically what happens is all of the ancestors from all of the different communities are welcome. You know, we have Masquerade Gungun, Feeding Hungry Ghosts, which is the Asian, Day of the Dead, which is the Latin, Hollow Mass. You know, when we've had the Festival of the Bones in the past, it is a ritual of remembrance, okay? We celebrate all the different ways that we remember our ancestors. And, you know, I wish I had footage from different ones to share with you, but we build beautiful altars. We have wonderful food. Sometimes there is a dance. There's always music. And then sharing of the stories of the lives of the people who are important to us. Like I said, I am new to Atlanta and I'm looking for places to hold the Festival of the Bones. But even if that does not happen, we have the book, Festival of the Bones, and I will talk with you about doing something, you know, if it starts out with just your family or a handful of your friends. Once people know that the Festival of the Bones is something that that we can do every year at the end of autumn. Over time, it builds up. Over time, people come to recognize that everybody is welcome. So, you know, the Buddhist nun comes and sits with the African dancer, and the Native American sister sits with the Muslim sister, and it's a way of building global community with spirituality at the center of it. So, you know, what threw things off is that originally I had a plan to do the Festival of the Bones in St. Louis, but the sister who was coordinating that has an elderly mother, and they have been evicted and need to move. And there's also been rioting in St. Louis, which makes it, you know, there's a problem. There's a problem with not being able to do that. So we will manifest a celebration, a ritual of remembrance, whether it's the big public one or whether it is guidelines for you to do a smaller one in your own home.
Thank you, Yaye. So as I scroll down and to share more, again, enrollment is now open. This is the exciting news also about this opportunity, is this is a 5-week course. And so if you have wanted to study with Yaye, if you are continuing your studies with her, this is an opportunity that is making it very accessible in terms of your investment in yourself, your investment in your spiritual path, your growth, and really the work that we all are being called here to do. I just believe that if you're on this phone call, it's greater than any curiosity you have. This is something, it's really like an assignment with destiny. You're showing up and you're answering the call, and how blessed and fortunate are we to have an elegant elder of a teacher who is showing us in her life path and has so much wisdom to offer on our journey. So there are two options for tuition. There is a full payment, and then there also is an early bird easy payment. These are the early bird rates. And so these rates are open until the end of the month, and then at that point, the tuition increases. And so go ahead now and enroll. Don't tarry. Seize the moment. And then also understand that there are bonuses when you go ahead and act and make the decision to enroll now. So those bonuses are further explained at the bottom of the page. And for
will you all accept PayPal?
Let's see. We have.
Will you accept PayPal?
PayPal? Yes, we can make arrangements through
PayPal. Are you set up for PayPal?
We can make a. Who is asking that question?
It's Muja Shakir with PayPal credit.
Muja, we can make that arrangement with you.
Okay.
Okay, so Muja, if you will go ahead and put in the chat, you can send me a private chat with your email address, and I'll follow up with you for PayPal.
Okay, I don't see the place for the chat has been removed.
Okay. Huh. So let me go back. Okay, so Muja, try now.
Okay.
So the course is open. Please go ahead and enroll. Take advantage of the bonus opportunities that are available now. And then last but certainly not least, if you are interested in Jamaica, reach out to me. Also put your email address in chat, and I will follow up with you personally to discuss that opportunity. When you register for Jamaica, you receive Yaye's Casting Lots course as a gift. So you get two great, super great opportunities to study, learn, and grow with her in person and virtually. So I could go on and on, but, you know, we just want to make this as delicious and juicy and inviting for you as we can.
Yeah, you really want to do this. I think we really want to do this. And just know that if my daughter don't throw me out in the street, like she say, we'll have some very, very exciting things going on after the turn of the year. And this is just the beginning. This is just the beginning.
So to confirm,
and I got the note. Go ahead, Iya.
Yes, ma'am. The dates of the class, the course are October 7th through November 4th. The course is happening on Saturdays from 2 to 4 Eastern Time. And all class sessions are recorded. So if you do encounter, you know, life happens, if you can't attend any of the sessions for the course, then you are able to receive a recording. So you don't miss anything. So yeah, that answers the question.
Yes, and I just wanted to say, I received the message about the pineapple, and I have one, and I also received the message about the comfrey. And here's what I wanted to tell you about the comfrey. I have very, very good fortune with comfrey, and used to have a comfrey plant in my front yard in California. I don't know if you know, the FDA decided that that comfrey was horse food, and that human beings shouldn't use it. It's a wonderful, wonderful leaf. And so I had a day when the building inspector in Oakland came by my house and said, well, since you don't have horses, you need to get rid of that comfrey plant you got in your front yard. And you know what I did? I played the crazy old black woman on him. And I told him, if you don't get out of my yard, I'll put buckshots in your ass. You better not mess with me. You should have seen him getting away from me. You should have seen him getting away from me. Yes, I know the wonders of comfrey. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, yay, thank you for this wonderful masterclass, and thank you all for being here with us this evening. This has been amazing, as always.
All right. Now, as I'm on my way out, I tell people all the time, don't do nothing I wouldn't do. Bye, y'all. Thanks bye. For being here. Bye bye.
Thank you.
Thank you both.
Bye bye.